Hi, I'm Michelle. Welcome to the Umbilical Cord of the Gourd, where I listen to my best friend Maggie tell some stories and drink some. Maggie, what are you drinking?
I am drinking an Imperial Cold Mountain, which is like one of my favorite beers from North Carolina. My dad brought it for Christmas. And then once I'm done with this, I'll switch to a local beer here that's good. It's called Bench.
Maggie, what kind of stories are you going to tell us today?
Okay. So today we're going to start in what will be a recurring theme, which is weird experiences that I had while living in China. And I want to start because this one is going to focus on like how weird it can be as a foreigner to be in China and like how there are all of these like strange things that happen there that are just so different than anywhere else I've lived. But I want to preface this with saying that like China's not weird. The way I lived in China was absurd. So like an example of things that for me was became really regular is that it was very, making friends is the wrong word, but it was very easy to make acquaintances with literally everyone because I am white and they therefore want to be my friends. So my friend Sponge and I would just make up nicknames for everyone instead of learning their real names because we're good people. So like we had someone that we called Peter Pan because he wore capris. We had someone that we called Pretty Boy because he was very pretty.
Wouldn't they be like, oh my God, I just got an English name. This is awesome.
Yeah, they definitely would.
Can we just pause for a second and explain why we're using the name Sponge and where that name came from?
So in China, like names are also words, like they have meanings. Whereas like Maggie, I mean, it has meanings on Urban Dictionary, but that's about it. So when Chinese people give themselves English names, a lot of times they'll just pick words. So like I met a stone. I met a lot of cherries. A lot of people named Echo. I think there's a really famous author whose name is Echo.
My mom told me about this woman. Her, like, you know how like Chinese names, you say the last name first and then your like actual name. But when that person comes to America, your last name is pushed to the last.
Yes.
So this person, their Chinese name was Gao Ya, which means like, you know, sophisticated and graceful and like that kind of shit. Like super, you know, fancy. But when they came to the U.S., their name became Ya Gao, which means toothpaste.
So one time I was at a conference and there was someone there who studied at NYU Shanghai and she introduced herself as Sponge. And I thought, wow, what a unique name to choose. I think like even of like among the stones and cherries and captains and echoes I met, I think Sponge was really something.
Because I think like the stones and cherries and like those all like, I could see somebody in China thinking those were like meaningful names, you know?
Yeah. So this girl was like, my name is Sponge. And I was like, okay, I guess that's the name that you can give yourself. And I was talking to somebody else who went to school with her later. And she was like, no, but like her actual name is SpongeBob. And she just shortens it to Sponge. Which I just think is brilliant, is that she was not only like, let me pick a name. Let me just pick a name out of names that I know, but also let me name myself after a boy Sponge.
Like, that is my hero. Because I think, like, some Chinese people will name themselves after, like, celebrities or whatever.
Yeah.
But, like, this girl was like, I aspire to be this particular Sponge. Not just any Sponge.
So, like, when I was living there, SpongeBob was very popular. Do not get me wrong. Also, his name was, like, Time.
Haimian Bao Bao.
Haimian? Okay. I never knew, because when I was living in China, I didn't speak any Chinese. So people would just say words to me, and I would just repeat them. Yeah, so the other thing is that when I was living in China, or at least where I was living, there were really only three celebrities that mattered. There was Justin Bieber, and remember, this is like 2011 Justin Bieber. So,
a child.
a child, but also I think the remarkable thing about Justin Bieber is that with the times, Justin Bieber's haircut has always resembled what is in trend for lesbians. So very like floppy, swoopy hair lesbian Justin Bieber. Lesbians who look like justinbieber.tumblr.com, best website on the internet. So there was Justin Bieber. There was Michael Jackson, who will never die. And there was Lady Gaga. But in 2011, instead of people saying, oh my God, or whatever the Chinese equivalent to that was, it's like someone, well, actually, the Chinese equivalent to that is, ayo! But,
ayo!
Aya! Chinese noises are the best noises. But the other thing you could say was, instead of, oh my God, you could say, oh my Lady Gaga! Because that's how important Lady Gaga was in 2011 China.
But anyway, that's why, like, we have a special attachment to the name Sponge, and that's why we will name this recurring character Sponge, even though it's not the same Sponge. It's a different person. Tell us a little bit about Sponge.
So Sponge and I both live... Sorry, calling her Sponge is very weird.
It's very funny, though.
Okay, so when I went to China, I basically, like, I had gotten a scholarship from my university that said you just have to spend, you take a gap year, you get money, and the only stipulation is you spend at least 6 months doing service abroad. But then everything fell through, like, one after one, and then I thought I was going to India, and then there was a very weird situation with a bishop and an orphanage, and then they were like, nah. And then I was like, what am I going to do? And then the next morning I got an email that said, hey, do you want to move to China? There are a bunch of Germans teaching English. You can join them. Here's a contract. And my mom was like, please go there because I have a contract. And everywhere else would just, you would just show up. And that scares me. And I was like, okay, cool. I'm going to China. And then 3 weeks later, I moved to China. So I get there. And in my town, I lived in like, what is even for the US kind of a small town.
Like, what kind of U.S. town would you equate it to? Because it also weirdly showed up on that map, the shower curtain map.
Yeah, it's because of the nuclear plant.
So Maggie had the shower curtain.
No, I didn't have the shower curtain. I've been into like 4 people's bathrooms and they have the shower curtain.
It's probably like a Target shower curtain. And so, like, it was like a kind of illustration of different countries of the world. And then it had the names of like the important cities, like capitals basically. And then like New York City and Chicago. And then like China, it was like Beijing and Shanghai.
And Uman. Also, what is important to note is that Uman means Jade Gate. But when I lived there, and even now, I've gotten really lazy with saying tones correctly when I speak Chinese, because I'd never speak Chinese. But when I lived there, I didn't understand how tones worked. So I was always just picking random tones whenever I said the name of this town. And like, Yumen is Jade Gate.
Is that a local dialect? Jade Gate is Yumen, and that's how I've seen it spelled.
So, like, okay, so I actually really struggle with this because the local dialect there is, it's not like you, it's like zh.
Oh.
Like E, okay. Like E, like number one E is zh.
Okay, yeah.
So, like, the dialect there is super strange. And so, like, I would have called it like zh when I lived there.
Okay.
But no normal Chinese person, not normal, no, like, not Gansu Chinese person would understand Zuma.
Okay.
But what's important is that Yu Men means depression.
Oh. Like sad depression or hole in the earth?
Like sad depression.
Oh. Hey, guess what? I don't know what that is in Chinese because guess what? Chinese people don't talk about mental health.
Yeah, that's a real thing. So when I was in China, the second time when I was there to learn language, we had to sign a contract that said we wouldn't speak English for the whole 2 months we were there.
What?
Yeah, but the thing is, like, that's hella depressing because, like, I don't know how to make jokes in Chinese.
Depressing.
That's a hell of a hole in the ground.
And so, like, I got in a lot of trouble because once in a weekend, two different teachers caught me speaking English, both times just brazenly without giving a fuck. And technically, if I'd gotten caught a third time, I could have been sent home and not made it, gotten any credits. And then I had to meet with the principal of my program. He's like, we can speak English if you'd rather have this conversation in English. And, like, as a power move in Chinese, I was like, no, I don't need to have this conversation in English. I can do it in Chinese. But then I was like, for me, it's, like, not a problem of if I can speak Chinese. For me, it's a problem of depression because I don't know how to make jokes in Chinese. And I knew how to say depression because I lived in Jade Gate, which sounds exactly like depression. So I moved to China, and my small town it takes about 20 minutes to walk from one side of town to the other, but it's a bunch of sky rises.
Sky rises?
Yeah, like there's a bunch of like 20-story buildings.
High rises or skyscrapers.
Yes, I don't know words. So like this very small town just with really tall buildings. There was only one high school though. So like mm-hmm. It's pretty small. There were only four foreigners living in the whole town, technically five, but one was Chinese Singaporean. So like much easier for her to integrate and live a life. And the others were me, another 18-year-old German girl, a 26-year-old German girl, and a 30-year-old Swiss girl. And the 30-year-old Swiss girl spoke perfect Chinese, and she lived on the other side of town, which was a 20-minute commute by foot. So we never saw her.
That's too long.
So that's why I met Sponge.
So Sponge was the 18-year-old.
Sponge was the 18-year-old, yeah. I can now tell you about Sponge's birthday, which remains one of the wildest days of my life.
I'm very surprised that nothing very bad happened.
On that day in particular, or just in my entire year?
That particular day. I'm surprised that you did not get kidnapped.
Because everything leads to, you're definitely going to die. And I didn't.
And you're here.
And the way her birthday started was 2 weeks beforehand, her school informed her that they were going to throw her a birthday party. And that not only she, but all of the foreigners needed to prepare some performances for this birthday party. So our Chinese teachers wrote us a speech to give in Chinese. None of us spoke any Chinese. So it was just like, it was just a bunch of pinyin with like that we couldn't even read because the handwriting is so different that we were just like kind of looking at it and making noises.
And there were all the Chinese people were probably like, oh my God, wow.
Yeah.
They're so good.
It was like a lot, like it was like a page of writing that she had to like say to the 30 people invited to her birthday party in the high school cafeteria. We had to also learn a dance. One of our Chinese teachers used to dance a like traditional dance of Xinjiang. And then we get to the party and we realize that they were so excited that they were throwing a party for a white girl that they invited the local news channel. So there were like three journalists with their whole cameras recording a 5-minute speech in Chinese, us doing the Xinjiang dance. At one point, I juggled oranges.
Wait, how is your only talent in China juggling?
My only talent was juggling and being white. I think you're underestimating how talented.
Yeah, but your Bobo was based on juggling too.
Yeah, I have one thing.
Okay, if someone cut off your arms and you couldn't juggle, what would be your next talent?
I would tell stories. But if they don't speak English, then I would just fall down and hope they laughed.
I also took a Fernet shot, so here we are.
That'll definitely help the podcast be more on track.
In case anyone hasn't figured it out yet, I am usually hammered. And then Maggie is 75% hammered.
So, like, the problem is the time I got genuinely hammered was the 3-hour-long fiasco.
Also, it turned out okay.
Yeah. Like, it was a good pod. Also, I think this one will be a lot of work for you, but I think it'll be good.
It's mostly about the process of just connecting with you as a friend than turning it into a pod. Because who cares about the fucking pod?
That's what I tell people when I tell them about this pod, is I'm not like, ah, yeah, we did it for the love of the art. I'm like, nah, like, we needed something structured where we had to hang out because I forget. Because
Maggie sucks at, like, contacting me.
Okay, so this party ends, and we were like, I wouldn't describe our time there as fun. I would describe it as confusing and awkward. So we left, and we were like, why don't we go to karaoke? Like, let's go to karaoke. I also, like, everyone, like, if you study Chinese at some point, you have to learn the words to Pongyo.
Wait, I have to pee. Can you sing some Pongyo for our
I gotta Google the lyrics, but yeah.
Pongyo means friends, by the way.
这些年一个人风也过 一夜错，有过累，有过错，还记得坚持什么？真爱过，才会懂，挥挥手，总有梦，总有你的心中，在心中。 朋友一生一起走，那些日子不再有，一句话，一辈子，一厢情，一杯酒。So the lyrics I found just at some point have repeat, 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 but I wasn't sure what it was supposed to be, so it just sort of stopped. But also, I haven't listened to that song in 5 years, so we should be proud of me for remembering that much of this.
Yes.
I mean, not the lyrics, but the tune. Whatever.
Yeah.
Fuck it.
Wait, I have to make a drinking game. What if we do a version of the last drinking game and just say anytime we say any Chinese?
Okay.
Which we have to drink. Like, just do a long chug because... That was a lot of fucking Chinese, and I'm so proud of you, Maggie.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. So, we go get ready. We leave. And what's important for my town is that my town is in the desert, and on the outskirts of the town is just endless wasteland. And our school was right on the edge of the end of town, which meant that nobody's ever just driving by our school on their way to somewhere else. We leave, and we were just like, we'll just find somewhere to go. Like, we don't really know the good places yet because we weren't yet in our phase of karaokeing every day. And as we're walking down the street, still on the outskirts of town, a white truck slows down, and we kept looking ahead and thought, this is weird. And then they rolled down their window and they said, where are you guys going? And we said, we're going to go do karaoke. Also, an important thing of me explaining stories in China is that most of them happened in Chinese. I did not speak Chinese at the time, and yet I have a clear memory of the conversations we had.
So these people in the truck were speaking Chinese and you were not? Yeah. Okay.
They might have known the littlest bit of English. So it might have been very broken English. I was going to impersonate them, and then I thought that's going to come off really racist. So they said, where are you going? And we said, we're going to KTV. And they said, we will also go to KTV. Come with us. We shrugged our shoulders, and we climbed in their truck.
This white truck of which you knew nobody.
Never seen this truck before. Don't recognize this guy. We're like, all right, cool.
It's just one guy, though?
There's two guys.
Oh, so you guys could maybe beat them up if you had to.
Oh, yeah. These two guys we could have beaten up. Yeah. Anyways, so we get in the truck and they start driving and we're like looking at each other and we're like, this is insane. What are we doing? This is maybe not the safest thing I've ever done in my life. One of the guys turns around and says, here, and handed Sponge a white box. And we were like, what's going on? And she opened the white box, and it was a birthday cake. I like that you gasped as if you did not know
what was in the box. Yeah, but it surprises me every time. It surprises me every time because it's so fucking weird.
And the birthday cake said, "Happy birthday, sponge."
Holy shit.
But actually, what was weirder than that, I mean, that was weird, but then we started putting the pieces together. And, like, the birthday the box had the name of the bakery on it. And this bakery was really famous, and they didn't have a store in our town. The nearest bakery for this store was an hour and a half drive away.
What?
They drove to the nearest big city, which is like a million and a half people.
What the fuck?
To buy this, to get this really fancy birthday cake for Sponge. To then also to not even know that they would meet us.
But to maybe hang around your school, her school, and maybe run into you.
Yeah. So what I'm now confident in is that they, for like an hour, have been driving in circles around the school. Because also we live in this school. Oh. Because there are apartments in the school. Like a lot of Chinese places, like if you're not married, you live in your place of employment.
Yeah.
And so like our apartments were in this school, which meant they were basically driving around our apartment complex for a few hours in case we came outside so they could give this birthday cake to her that said happy birthday.
Whoa.
So we put all this together, and then we were like, well, let's go to karaoke with them.
How did they know it was her birthday?
Because Sponge was really active on QQ.
Explain QQ.
QQ was like one of the competing social media apps at the time. It was 2011. So social media was a little different. I say this as if I give a shit about tech. So a week or so beforehand, we were walking to the other side of town where this 30-year-old Swiss woman lived. And we were like, oh yeah, we can just walk to her school. And we got there and realized we didn't know where it was. And her school was Arjong, which just means school number two. And we were walking around kind of in the area, lost. And this car, this like black car, drove by. And they rolled down the window and they said, where are you going? And we said, we're going to Arjong. And they were like, get in, we'll give you a ride. And we said, okay. Because they did give us a ride to Arjong. And when we got there, they were like, can we exchange QQ numbers? So I was like, I don't have QQ. Sponge was like, yeah, here's my QQ number. And they exchanged. We got out. We went and saw this 30-year-old Swiss woman. Totally forgot about these people. But I guess Sponge was talking to them on QQ afterwards, just because she loved talking to people on QQ, and told them it was her birthday.
Okay. Does Susie actually care Sponge. Any shits about us using her real name?
No.
She would just say Susie.
Yeah. We're giving up on Sponge.
We have given up on the Sponge.
Susie had been messaging them on QQ. I guess she told them it was her birthday. And then they were like, this is our shot.
So the people with the black van
was the same guy. He owns a black van and a white truck. He became friends with Susie on QQ, and then he drove around our school in this white truck, brought us this cake because he was in love with Susie, because also everyone was in love with Susie. It was exhausting. Sometimes we'd go places and it was just like, come on. So we didn't figure out until the next day that this was the same person.
Oh.
Because the whole time, we spent like 4 hours with these guys and we're like, why did they know it was your birthday? What the fuck is going on? Where are we? What are we doing? The first time I got really drunk was like a week or two later. And like we were doing a lot of shit. We were just like being drunk and like eating street food. And then I lost a little bit of time. I got blacked out, but just for a hair. And I came to and I was like, why are we in this man's car again? Because we weren't drinking with him. Like, it's not like we had gone out and he was taking us home. Like, we had gone out, just me and Susie, and had been doing other things.
Wait, after the white truck?
Yeah, after like a week or two later.
Oh, so he is legitimately stalking
us. Like, legitimately stalking us.
Holy fuck.
Yeah, it was super weird. Nothing ever happened. Like, I think that was maybe one of the last times we saw him, but
for a little bit there, he was just, he just kept just very specific, not just stalking, like, but showing up in a car wherever we were.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
Not like now, if I, like, as a 29-year-old, if I met a 19-year-old who was like, yeah, there's just this man in a car and he keeps showing up and giving us rides, I would be like, call the police.
Okay, so also in China, there is, I think, one liquor that is ubiquitous in China, and this is baijiu, which is a rice wine liquor that is clear. It's a little bit like Sambuca.
It just tastes like grain alcohol.
I have a lot of problems with baijiu.
It had such a bad effect on my life that to this day, if I smell Red Bull, I assume people are drunk. Because I used to mix it with Red Bull, which is great for my heart. My brain cannot distinguish between the two smells. If I were to smell baijiu now, 10 years after the fact, I would get a little sick. But my favorite time that I ever purchased baijiu, we were on vacation somewhere, and we went into like a little kiosk kind of thing, and the only person working there could not have been older than 8 years old. I think he had parents. In a lot of stores in China, if it's a little kiosk, there will be a bed in the back room and somebody will be sleeping in there. So like his parents might have just been asleep in the back room. But so the kid was running this kiosk by himself. He might have been 8. He had a plastic gun that he was polishing. So we went in and we picked up a bottle of baijiu that was like 8 kuai, which is like roughly $1.10. Yeah. Like very like $1, maybe like 10 shots in there. No liquor should cost this little. But we pick up this $1 bottle of liquor, this 8 kuai bottle, and we put it on the counter, and this 8-year-old polishes his gun, slams his gun on the glass countertop, looks us in the eye and says, 8. And I gave this kid money and I ran away as fast as I can because I've never been so scared by anything in my entire life.
So, like, if you were to write like a advice column for people who are planning to travel to China who are white, what would you recommend?
I think my first recommendation would be buy a Lonely Planet because they'll tell you what to do and not die.
But also maybe like take some chances and go along with shit. Maybe you'll end up getting a free cake.
Honestly, like being a white person. So like actually what I would tell a white person going to China is like go to not the main places. So like Beijing, Shanghai, like Hong Kong, maybe even like Shenzhen. But I think not that many people go there.
Like Shenzhen. I honestly expected more people to speak English in Shenzhen, but nobody was like surprised by a white person, really.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say like go into, you don't have to do as much as I did and just live in the desert for a year, but like go to places that are off the beaten path because the wildest things will happen.
But also they're all like very modern cities. Like any small ass town is like a fully functioning, like super modern city. You can get around really easily and like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's also like, I would say like, honestly, like I've lived in the US, I've lived in Germany and I've lived in China. China to me, partly probably because of like being white, but like China to me felt always the safest. Partly because there are cameras everywhere and the government's watching everything.
And like, you're not allowed to like own a gun.
Yeah. It's so it's not dangerous to go like into super weird places, but it's also, and it's not just the white thing. I think China is a surreal place.
I mean, I feel so super safe, but the only thing you have to be careful of is people like kind of scamming you because,
yeah.
But even that, like there's been a lot of crackdowns, but it's just kind of like being, you know, using your street smarts and don't like agree to paying for shit that you know isn't worth that much.
This is actually a really good time to bring in the tea wenches, which so it's a good reason for time for many reasons. One, I said one of my good advices is to get a Lonely Planet. One of the really great things that the Lonely Planet gave me is I was reading it one day and it said that sometimes in some of the major cities, you will have women, mostly women, approach you and try to start a conversation based on like their knowledge of your culture, your country or whatever. And then they will invite you to a tea house or a tea ceremony. And at the end of it, they will stick you with the bill, and the bill is like $200 or $300 or something like this.
Chinese dollars.
No, American dollars.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I've never paid anything close to that in China.
Yeah, because you're not white. So if they see, the first time this happened, we were in Shanghai, and like three girls started talking, like approached us and were like, "Hi, we want to learn. We speak English, but we want to practice." And like, "Where are you guys from?" And I said I was from the U.S. I don't remember what they talked about for me. My friend Sponge/Susie said she was from Germany, and they immediately started talking about German beer, and we were like, "Wow, we have friends! Cool. What? So nice. It's so easy to meet people." And then they asked if we wanted to go to a tea house, and we were like, "No, we already have plans. Sorry, maybe later." I think we might have exchanged numbers. I don't know. And we left, and I said, "Actually, I read in The Lonely Planet that sometimes people will approach you and invite you to tea houses, and then like scam you and tell you it's a $300 tab when it's not, and you have to pay for it." And she was like, "That's weird. That's definitely not what happened." And when we were in these major tourist cities, it was like every 20 minutes, someone would see us and be like, "White people, hi, like, where are you from? What are you doing?" And we got to the point where we just, yeah, like really constant. Like every time we were in like going into a museum or like anywhere that was slightly touristy, somebody would approach us and like basically invite us to a tea ceremony.
It's just funny because it's like, I mean, like there are tea restaurants or like tea places in China, but the tea ceremony thing is like Japanese.
Yeah. But I think they also rely on white people not actually knowing what's going on.
It's like, oh, I'm doing something cultural.
Exactly.
With the actual Chinese person.
Exactly. And I think for us, what was nice is that, like, we'd already been living in China for several months. And, like, we'd done plenty of things with actual Chinese people. So we were like, oh, this is nice. Like, we have friends today. But we weren't like, this is our one opportunity for Chinese culture.
Yeah.
I think over the span of a year, and most of that time being in a place that doesn't have this, because our town didn't have this at all. But, like, over like maybe 2 months of traveling in places that had some of this to a degree, I think easily 20 or 30 times I was approached with this scam. My favorite time was the week before I left. So like Susie/Sponge and all of the other people in our volunteer program who were mostly German, one Dutch guy and one Swiss girl, they had all left, so I was the only one around. I was just sort of walking around Beijing, eating watermelon seeds, which are really an addiction of mine that I haven't allowed myself to have in at least 5 years. I can't be trusted with watermelon seeds. And I, like, as I was walking, somebody was sort of sitting on a ledge. We made eye contact for half of a second, and he jumped up and started in a conversation with me that was like, I think to the untrained eye would have seemed like a normal conversation, but because I had been scammed, like so many attempts to scam me in this way, I knew what it was immediately. And I thought, like, I'm just going to waste this guy's time. So I'm going to let him talk to me for as long as he wants to. And I'm not going to a tea house with him. So we were walking and talking, and I shared some of my seeds with him, and we were like every like 10, 20 minutes, he would be like, "Yeah, do you want to come like
Americans love pistachios. We can go to a place where we can have tea and pistachios. And I was like, I don't care about pistachios. But also, like, I'm busy. I'm on my way somewhere. Let's keep talking. And I was trying to string him along for as long as I possibly could. And after maybe 30 minutes of walking around town with this guy who keeps trying to invite me to a tea house where he's definitely going to scam me, this French guy who was, like, 6 feet tall, long blonde hair, he sees me. He makes very uncomfortable eye contact with me for about 10 seconds. And then he comes up behind me. And he also was staying in my hostel. Like, I recognized him because his hair was so magnificent. But he came up from behind me, tapped me on the shoulder, and was like, hey, this guy's going to scam you. So this guy that I had been talking to for a while had apparently approached this French guy and his friend, invited them to, like, just have some tea and snacks. And then he had dipped, like, he had run out on the bill and left them with a 250 euro charge for nuts and tea. Wow. So this French guy has come up and tapped me on the shoulder, told me this. And then the guy who I've been walking with for, like, a while is holding my bag full of watermelon seeds, realizes that this French guy is like, taking away his opportunity for income, which was me. Which, to be clear, I knew what was happening. He was never going to make a dime off of me. He starts throwing watermelon seeds at the French guy and screaming, like, fuck your mother! Fuck your mother! Just chucking watermelon seeds at his head. And then the French guy and I take off running. He kept my bag of watermelon seeds. And I love watermelon seeds. Let's be real. You know how many followers you should really have. You know you were made for the celebrity lifestyle. It only makes sense that your face would be all over local television on your birthday. We've got the perfect vacation package for you.
We will give you the celebrity life you know you deserve. From glamorous tea ceremonies to an entourage full of 8-year-olds with plastic guns.
For the low, low price of $137 per month for the next 84 years, you too can be a Lady Gaga. Or a Justin Bieber. The lucky 10th caller will get this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to be the celebrity they know they are. Call 1-800-I'M-A-STAR. That's 1-800-462-7827.
Must be white to participate. Now that we're done with our ad, you know what time it is. It's time for the random word. Maggie, what's the random word?
So in this segment, Michelle, my dear friend, is going to give me a random word. And I just have to, off the top of my little brain, come up with a story that is somewhat related. Tell it and hope it works.
So I think I'm just going to go with booger.
This is really disgusting. For the sake of pretending to protect the innocent, one time I was at lunch while I was living in China with my dear friend Sponge, and it was winter, and the, like, regional staple food was a noodle soup that had, like, a lot of chili in it. It also costs, like, 50 American cents per meal.
Oh, I want it so bad.
So good. We're in this noodle soup place. And I think everyone should also understand the and appreciate the difference between Asian spoons and non-Asian spoons. Because Asian spoons are superior in every way.
And I don't know why any other spoons exist.
Anyways, so we're eating. We're talking. I'm really staring at my soup. I look up. I stare at Sponge. Sponge is looking at me in the eyes, talking, slowly putting the spoon to her mouth.
And as Sponge almost has a spoon in her mouth, just a wet, dangly booger falls out of her nose and into the spoon. And I am too shocked to say any words. And I just watched with my jaw wide the fuck open as she put a spoonful of her own boogers into her mouth and ate it.
Okay, but boogers are salty, so you wouldn't even know if you ate a booger.
She didn't know. So she ate it, and then she looked at me and said, "What's going on with your face?" As I, like, my mouth is fully open, and I'm just pointing at her head. And she was like, "What is happening?" And I was like, "Sponge, your snot just fell out of your nose into your spoon, and then you immediately ate it."
But okay, but like, what would you do if that was you?
If somebody was like, "You just ate your own booger," I think the thing is, like, fluids that come out of your body were in your body at one point, so
you're recycling.
Yeah, I'm just caring about the environment, asshole.
Is there anything else we need to do as far as recording?
No.
Okay, I'm gonna stop this bullshit.
Yeah. Question. Do we want to talk about Mao or do we want to go back to the podcast?
We need to go back to the podcast.
Okay. I think you should at the end do a bloopers reel that's just a lot of cuts of us being like, "We have to talk about the podcast."
Anyway, podcast.
Yeah.
If I never ate those fish eyeballs, my memory would be superior. Maybe we go back to the pod.
Back to the story I've been trying to tell for hours.
Oh my god. Your ears are not fit for monkeys. All right, keep going. Tell the fucking story.
Monkey. Back to pod. I will shave my head in Memphis. Back to pod. Turns out finger jousting and real jousting are similar.
You think fencers would be good jousters? Did I say fingers or fencers?
Fencers.
I guess fencing is just mini jousting.
Yeah, but with legs.
I mean, jousting just involves more legs.
Now I have Pungyo stuck in my head. We should get back to the podcast.
Fuck. Fuck. Okay. Also, I can already tell this is going to be like 3 to 4 hours.
Yeah. Can we just tell stories? Because we keep getting off on tangents of philosophy. Okay. Yeah.
Which I love.
This has been a really fun conversation.
It has not gone anywhere.